Amen. And so I just want to encourage you today to not allow discouragement and even what could even lead to that, even a realm of depression to overtake your life. Because when that enters in, after, you know, I look at it this way, that you can get discouraged, and if you let it go too long, it can lead into depression, which could go on for a long, long time and affect you in a great, great way. And we don't want that, and that certainly would not be the will of God for God's people. Amen. It's important that we all know, though, that even though, you know, we live life, and even though Jesus bought for us the victory, there's going to be failures, there's going to be opportunities to be discouraged, but there is a way out of that discouragement, and we want to talk about that a little bit today. Would you open your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 21? Numbers chapter 21 is where we're going to begin. Then we're going to pray, and we're going to launch off from there in the little bit of time that we have. Numbers chapter 21, you'll see the reference up on the big screen. Hope you can read that good. Numbers chapter 21. Everybody with me so far? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor today. We thank you, Father, that in the midst of discouragement, you are the great encourager. That you encourage us by your Holy Spirit, that you build us up. Father God, we are reassured today, and I pray everyone will be, Father, reassured that no matter how many times we've failed, no matter how many times we've fallen, Father God, that you are there to lift us up, you're there to dust us off, you're there to get us going again, Father God, into the plan and the purpose that you have for us, Father. And so, Father, I pray that something said today would just encourage, minister to people, Father God, hit them right where they're living, Father God, to help lift them up and get them back walking and running for you again. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll notice here in Numbers chapter 21, begin with verse 4, we're talking about Israel. And some things said about Israel. It says, and I'll read verse 4, even though that's the only reference given up on the screen. I want to read beyond that as well. Notice it says this: then they journeyed, that's Israel, from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Everybody say, very discouraged. Then in verses 5 and on, let's read a little bit more. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. And that worthless bread was that manna that God had provided for them in a supernatural way. And now they were complaining about that supernatural provision. In verse 6, it says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. All right, we want to look at some things, not only from this passage, but from some other passages, and just glean some things as to how to overcome these times of discouragement. Look up on the big screen, if you will. Verse 4 of the Amplified Bible reads this way, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way. Now, trials along the way are certainly one thing that causes us to get discouraged. We'll see things that relate to that as well. But the question is this. In your journey in life, and you'll notice they were journeying, in your journey in life, when you're walking along the way, have you allowed discouragement? Here it even points out the word depressed. Are you allowing that to stop you? Because in this case, it stopped them. In fact, some of them ended up dying at that point. Now, thank God, God doesn't operate that way with the people of God on this side of the cross. Aren't you glad for grace? Amen. And I don't want to get into all the detail about this, but in any case, this idea of discouragement. Look up on the big screen. Let's look at some definitions of discouragement. Number one, to deprive of courage. Obviously, discourage would be to deprive of courage. If you're deprived of courage, wouldn't you agree with me that when you are deprived of that, that would cause you to stop in terms of going forward? Because no matter what your journey is, it takes courage to continue to move forward. Amen? Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. You don't know what the future holds. And so to live life in general takes an element of courage, doesn't it? And so discouragement, if indeed it means to deprive of courage, and that is part of that, that would cause you to stop. That would cause you to not accomplish the destiny that God has for you if you are discouraged. To deter, to dishearten, to hinder, to show disapproval. A second definition of that, the next frame, is this. It is a feeling of dejection and heaviness in our heart. It has been described as feeling down, feeling blue, or feeling disheartened. It is often a state of desperation which gives a person the feeling of hopelessness. That is discouragement, right? You know, I have an uncle, quite frankly. He went through, I don't even know all the things that he went through. He must be about 54, 55 years old at this point. And back when he was a teenager, I don't know what happened. Obviously, he was older than me, and it wasn't really conveyed. I'm not sure anybody really knows what happened to him. But somehow along the line, he became discouraged over something. And again, nobody knows how or what it was that discouraged him. Very intelligent young man at that time. I remember, man, playing chess with him. He taught me how to play that three-level chess. Anybody play that three-level chess? I don't even think I can play it anymore. It's three-level. Can you imagine just chess itself? But this was a three-level. He taught me how to play that. Don't know if I remember anything anymore, but he was a very intelligent fella. But something happened. And again, I don't know what that something was. In the course of time of being discouraged, eventually he went into a place of being in great depression. And you know what? After all these years, 40-some years, it's no doubt safe to say, if he's 54, 55, hadn't seen him in years. But after all these years, he's been in the system. He's been having to be taken care of. Nobody can even hardly spend any time with him. He doesn't act right, do right, or whatever the case may be. And when it goes right back to it, it happens. Something happened when he was a teenager that discouraged him, where he dwelt on it and stayed on it, and eventually it led to depression, and he never got out of that depression. His life stopped back in the 1970s, and he's lived in going nowhere ever since that time. Now, most of us will never suffer from that kind of discouragement and depression, but we do see the dangers involved with it in that example, do we not? All right, let's go on. And most of this is just going to be on the PowerPoint. Some reasons for discouragement real quickly. Let's look at some reasons for it. Obviously, fatigue. How many of you know, and I know you all can relate to this, how many of you get tired? And when you're tired, you're discouraged. Thank you, all five of you, for that. I think everybody, it applies. You know, one thing that you need to always make up your mind about, don't make, real important decisions when you're tired. How many of you discovered that in your life? Amen? If you make real important decisions when you're fatigued, when you're tired, and really, I'll tell you, Americans are tired. Overall, Americans work hard as a rule. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And Americans get tired, a lot of fatigue and what have you. And you know what? A lot of people make important decisions while they're fatigued and tired. And you know, one decision in life, if it's the wrong one, it can affect you the rest of your life. Amen? And one decision in life, if it's the right one, can affect you the rest of your life as well. And so fatigue can certainly cause discouragement. And you know, one thing that I have learned, and I'm not perfect in it by any means, but I have learned that normally I need to hold my tongue when I'm tired and tempted to say things I shouldn't say. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen? Amen. Everybody say, hold your tongue. Amen. You know, you need to be careful because you'll hear yourself say things that you wouldn't normally say because you are fatigued and tired. You'll be speaking that discouragement. You'll be speaking that disappointment. You'll be speaking that negativity, whatever the case may be, because you're tired. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Amen. And that's a great excuse. Husbands, wives, just tell your spouse, you know what, I'm going to go be spiritual, and I'm going to take a nap. Amen. Amen. And if they know the benefit, they'll say, go right ahead. And they're thinking in the back of their mind, because I don't want to put up with you the way you are right now. Amen. And so fatigue is number one. Number two, pressures of responsibilities, obviously, can lead to discouragement. There's a lot of pressures, a lot of responsibilities that we all have to one degree or another. And this could apply to school kids. I'll tell you, there's a lot of pressures in school. There's a lot of pressures in public school concerning peer pressure, concerning different levels of areas that will mess up their lives. I mean, kids, how many of you would agree with me? And it hasn't changed. If you're older, believe me, it hasn't changed. If anything's got worse, how many of you know kids can be cruel? Isn't that right? I mean, they can be outright mean, can't they? and they're usually mean to their peers and what have you, and that certainly causes pressure, can cause discouragement, and it applies to every one of us in different areas of life, amen, different levels and ages of life. Number three, a reason for discouragement, disappointments. Now, disappointments, you know, and some of these may overlap to a certain extent, but disappointments, you know, that definition is this: the sadness experienced when people or circumstances do not fulfill expectations. We have all gone through disappointments in life. And you know, I have seen some folks that, you know, they just don't handle disappointment very well. And you know, really, we as parents, if you've got kids at home, you need to teach your kids, you know, sometimes there's going to be disappointments in life. Being sad because certain expectations were not met. You know, sometimes we're disappointed because we had too great, we had, let's put it, unrealistic expectations. And many times we put disappointment in a sense on ourselves because we were unrealistic in our expectations and things like that. That's not always the case, but we all get disappointed. We get disappointed with circumstances. We may get disappointed with people. How many of you know people will disappoint you every time? I know of a couple of folks that because some national preacher messed up and sinned, that they decided that they were just going to depart and leave God, not serve God anymore because they were disappointed. How many of you know if they had their confidence and faith in an individual, they were setting themselves up for disappointment anyway? Our confidence, our faith is not in a preacher or another person. Our confidence and faith is in the living Christ who is perfect all the time. I mean, we all fail, we all make mistakes, and we will disappoint each other to one extent or another, right? And so we need not let disappointments get us discouraged and cause us to stop life to whatever level or degree we may be stopping life. Because disappointments will surely come. And praise God, we can learn from them and we can grow from them as well. Isn't that right? Number four, let's look at the next one because of time. Comparing ourselves to others. That can bring discouragement, can't it? I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, I used to watch kids play baseball. You know, I enjoy playing baseball, but I used to watch kids play baseball, and man, they were good. I mean, they were good. I remember getting discouraged, and my father saying to me, well, you know, all the difference is they practice and you don't. I said, I shouldn't have to practice. I should just be able to play because I'm an American, you know. But you know, we compare ourselves to others. And how many of you know the Bible even says that is not wise to compare ourselves to others? We're all unique. We're all different. You know, you listen to Jeremiah up there on the big screen. Remember, he said that in high school, he didn't do too well in basketball. He didn't do well in football or whatever different sports he was talking about. But he found something he was good at, didn't he? And he practiced, even though he was good at it kind of by nature, he practiced some more. And God ended up using that in a mighty way. Now, that may not be your forte either, but the point is this. God has something special for each and every one of us, that there is something that he has gifted all of us with. And part of our duty, really, is to discover what that is. And if we're always comparing ourselves with others, then we're going to miss the mark in many ways, right? Somebody said, I can't remember where the quote came from. It's just something that's in my head now. And so I guess it's my quote now, right? But my memory serves me. He said something like this, you know, whenever you're trying to be like someone else, you're always going to end up to be second best. Why? Because somebody else is always going to be a better of themselves than you'll ever be trying to copy them. Isn't that right? And so remember, don't compare yourselves to others. It can cause a lot of discouragement and maybe even lead to depression if you're not careful. Let's look at another reason for it, and that is number five, meditating or dwelling on the wrong things. You and I know that our mind is the battlefield, isn't it? Amen. Of course, Philippians 4, 6 through 8 really talks about that. Our mind is the battlefield. And so whenever you are tempted to be thinking the negativity, all of this thing, I'm not good enough. I mean, people will tell you that. Oh, you're no good. That's something kids always say to other kids. Oh, you're no good. You know why people put other people down? Whether they're kids or not, because somehow or another that makes them feel better about themselves. And the reality of it is, when they're putting somebody else down, it's sort of indicative of the fact they don't feel that good about themselves. Because when you feel good about yourself and you know who you are, you don't have to put other people down because you already know who you are. Amen? You're secure. And for us as believers, it's we know who we are in Christ. right? And so when we know who we are in Christ, we don't have to put other people down. But when people do put other people down, when kids or otherwise put people down, it's because usually they have a security problem. They have a problem on the inside. It's indicative of something in here that is insecure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so again, meditate on the right things. Meditate on the things that God says are true and honest and just and pure and of good report. Think about the good news, right? I'll tell you, you get discouraged listening to Fox or CNN or any of those others too long. I'll tell you that right now. You get discouraged. And you say, well, I got to keep up to date. I got to know what's going on. Why? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding with you. No, I think we do need to keep up to a certain extent on what's going on so we can pray. But if it's pulling us down, If it's ruining our whole mentality, if it's affecting our relationships with others because we're so discouraged and maybe even depressed because we watch the news or something, how many of you know it's not worth affecting your family and affecting your marriage, your kids, and how you are just to keep up on what's going on? Does that make sense? And everything in balance. Everything in balance. Let's go to the next one. Number six, severe loss, reason for discouragement, through death, divorce, bankruptcy, etc. And sure, again, you know, it's normal to grieve when there's loss. It's normal to go through a grieving process, but don't want to get to a place where it stops us in life with discouragement and not willing to continue on and go on in those things. All right? Now, let's go to the next part of this. What are some results of discouragement? What are some results of discouragement? Notice, and we're not going to go there because my time is slipping away, but this is all from that account that we read, that text. Notice the first thing the children of Israel did in Numbers is you begin to blame God for your situation. Did everybody hear that? Anybody hear? Isn't that right? Many times we as Christians especially, and maybe even others as well, I'm sure there is others, they begin to blame God. Why, God, why? Why did this happen to me? That's like Jeremiah. He said, why? Why am I failing? God, why aren't you? He thought that he had been good enough to earn God's favor and what have you. And God finally got through to him. And maybe that's the case with you and me. God needs to get through to us. Maybe our motives are wrong or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But the point is this. God is not the blame. How many of you have discovered, and I'm sure you have, that God is not your biggest problem in life? Usually it's you who are your biggest problem in life. Isn't that right? I am my biggest problem. You are your biggest problem. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. And it's certainly not God. God is for you and not against you. And so if things seem not to be going for you, you just got to look in here a little bit. I hear what I'm saying to you, right? And I'm not saying that trouble won't come. There's other people that might cause you problems or whatever. But you know what? Whether you're victorious or defeated is not so much dependent upon what's going on out here. It's more dependent upon how you handle what's going on out here. Is everybody all right? Because, you know, you can live life seeing the cup half full or half empty. We ought to choose to see it half full. Amen? And begin to look at things differently. So you begin to blame God is one of the things discouragement will do. Number two, and I basically said this, you begin to blame other people. And so what did the children of Israel do? First they blamed God. Why did God bring us here? Then they began to blame Moses and you know, other leaders and whatever. And God didn't like that. Isn't that right? And so we begin to blame others, always pointing the finger. We live in a society of blame somebody else, don't we? Anybody can relate to that? We live in a society, everybody wants to blame somebody else. Well, I did this because my dad, you know, beat me up when I was a kid. Well, that's okay because you're 30 now, and you shouldn't be robbing banks because your father beat you up, or whatever the case may be. Isn't that right? I mean, after a while, don't you think we become responsible for our own actions? Don't you think? I mean, we can't always keep pointing back. Here I am, 60 years old. I'm using this as hypothetical. Here I am, 60 years old, and I'm looking back. Well, I'm this way because, you know, my mother, you know, kind of, she was never home. She never cooked meals. I had to eat hot dogs and beans all the time. You know, something's wrong with that. This is hypothetical, but you understand the points I'm bringing out. Amen? We always want to blame other people for our problems, or often people do anyway, all right? The next thing is this, as far as, results or some results from discouragement, you lose your appreciation for the blessings that you have. Remember the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One? We have to do that many times. I'll tell you, sometimes when I get discouraged, and I get discouraged, I get discouraged at times. Sometimes when I get discouraged, though, what does me a world of good is to go in my backyard, because, you know, we have a nice backyard, and the trees and the breeze and the sunshine and everything, the garden with tomato plants that are looking like trees, very little tomatoes, but the plants are big. And I look around and I say, you know what, I am blessed. I am blessed. There's people, and I remember being in this particular case when I was younger. There's people, maybe not living very good, maybe not even having a house to live in. You know, I remember when I was a missionary, you know, sleeping on floors and not having a bathroom, having to go to the maize field. I thank God for a bathroom. How about you? I'm talking about counting our blessings, amen? So we lose our appreciation for blessings that we may have. Next one. Number four is you open yourself up to further attack. You notice that when they complained, what happened was more of those fiery serpents came. Isn't that right? Number five, your desire to follow God begins to wane. Your desire to follow God, as they had stopped wanting to follow God any longer. They wanted to go their own way. They wanted to go back and what have you. And so it began to wane. Then number six, your motivation and energy begins to drain. Proverbs 13 and verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So when our hope is deferred, it makes our heart sick. Heart sick could be the idea of discouragement, depression, and all those things because we have no more hope. Discouragement brings hopelessness, doesn't it? All right, next one, number seven, we're almost done here. You begin to give up of the plan that God has for your life. These are some of the results of being discouraged, and we don't want to let that get a hold of us, right? And I know there's ample opportunity to be discouraged, but again, don't let it get a hold of you. And you know what? If you'll make the decision, you're going to conquer over discouragement, man. You're going to find out that things are going to get better, and you'll get through that thing in your life, whatever it might be, right? All right, how do we overcome it? Let's look at some things with this quickly. How do we overcome discouragement? The first one, number one, if it's due to sin, we need to repent and confess our sin. Sometimes it is with the children of Israel, as we read. Why did they end up getting into what they got into? Sure, they got into discouragement, and then they got into more discouragement. They needed to repent, didn't they? And they asked God to forgive them, didn't they? And that was the beginning of them being released from the things they were going through. And sometimes, as I point up there, it could be simply the sin of unbelief. Because Romans 14:23 says anything that's not of faith is sin. Amen. Let's look at these quickly. Number two, the next one. Remind yourself of the blessings and promises of God. Notice the scripture, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. It's up on the big screen, next frame. It says this, and you're familiar with it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you know it's good to not forget? Don't forget those blessings from God. Next frame. Lay hold of the weapon of hope. The weapon of hope. Lay hold of it. Notice the Psalm 43 and verse 5 is in our next frame there. And it says it this way. It says, "Why?" This is David, by the way, inspired by the Spirit of God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. What's hope? Joyful and favorable expectation. I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And sometimes in order to stir up that hope, it takes some praising, doesn't it? It takes some worshiping to stir up that hope. Remember, that hope means favorable and joyful expectation. Start expecting. You know one thing David did, as many of you are well aware, is he rehearsed his victories. And he was a man who failed many times, didn't he? Whether it be adultery, whether it be murder, whether it just be unbelief, whatever the case may be. I mean, he failed many times. He failed with his kids, most of them, didn't he? I mean, he really failed with his kids in many ways. But how many of you know his heart was tender toward God, and he repent when he messed up, and God would take him in, and God would bestow favor upon him and bless his life to the greatest degree that he possibly could in spite of his sin and his failures. Isn't that right? And so thank God. Thank God for that hope. And then inquire of the Lord. We don't have time, but you can go there. That talks about David inquiring of the Lord when he was discouraged. The women had been taken captive. The children had been taken captive while he and his men were out in battle. And they came back, and the men were going to stone him. They were tempted to kill him as well. And so not only did David have an enemy in Saul and the Philistines, but now his own men were going to stone him, because when they came back, the enemy had taken the wives and the children. So, man, he didn't have any friends. How many of you know when you feel like you have no friends, you better inquire of God fast because he'll be your friend. He'll be your friend. Amen? All right? And then finally, decide you're going to give praise to the Lord no matter what. To overcome discouragement, decide that you're going to give praise to the Lord no matter what your situation. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 is the final frame. It says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Notice the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And so to exchange that spirit of heaviness with a garment of praise, hallelujah, that'll set you free. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to just stand with me. I'd like the worship team to get ready to come up. I've got a song that's up on the video that I thought would inspire you. And you know, once it goes through it one time, you may enjoy it and want to sing along with it. It'll encourage you today. That's what I want to do, is encourage you in the name of Jesus.